Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
Good morning, everybody. How's 10 o'clock doing? All good. Welcome to Vision Sunday, and those of you who are joining us for the very first time today, welcome. As Kulu said, you did join us on a fantastic Sunday. Any Sunday is a great Sunday to join us, but today is a very special one. It's the day where, as a community, we come together and we listen with ears and hearts that are open to what it is that we feel God wants to do in our community as a church. So welcome to it. Good to have each and every one of you with us. Welcome to you if you're joining us online today. Isn't it amazing, church, that our church reaches beyond the borders of Benoni, Boksburg, Germiston, Whitfield, Brakpan? It's waiting for you. It's waiting for the heckling. Reaches all over the world, isn't it? Because of Thrive Online. And so those of you who have made such an investment over the last 2 years into the life of our church, just know that because of that, we can reach across borders. And we're so blessed to be able to do that. Hey, you ready for the word today? Can I ask you, would you stand to your feet? Something about standing in God's presence. I notice some people sit during worship, and that's not our culture in our church. We don't sit during worship, because you wouldn't sit if Queen Elizabeth was in your presence, would you? Are you with me? So when we come to church, we actually stand in worship, and it's a sign of honor. I was listening to a teacher tell us the other day about the culture in their school is that the boys will still stand up when a lady enters the class. Have you ever heard of such a thing in these days? There's something about standing that's honoring. And so when I ask you, you know, are you ready to receive the word? What I'm really doing is I'm asking you, have you got a standing up in your spirit? You're ready to receive what God wants to speak to us about today. So come, shall we pray? Put your hand on your heart if you'd like to, and let's trust God to that, you know, as flawed and as dodgy as I am, and before you look at me and think, oh, I'm dodgy, you're also just as dodgy. So that as flawed as I am, that the words that I would say today would be helpful, would be a blessing, would be a challenge, would be a comfort to you, that God would do something with the words from the time they leave my mouth to the time that they land in your heart. And that something would land in your spirit today, each one of us. So come, let's pray. Lord, here we are, ready to hear from you, asking you to speak. And as we stand together, it's almost like as Israel stood and read the word of God, as they stood in your presence, honoring you, respecting you. Lord, here we stand, and we are saying to you that we're expectant. We're saying to you that we honor you, we love you. We're saying to you that we want to hear from you. We're saying thank you for the presence of gathering together. Thank you for the presence of gathering in a wonderful church like we do. But most of all, thank you for the privilege of being together in your presence. And as we do so, we encourage each other, we strengthen each other. And we ask that you would land your word, your burden, your vision for our church this year, as you teach us about the people you want us to become, that you desire us to become, the people that you have in mind as we become a kingdom people, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. Thanks, everybody. Please do have a seat. Let me start today by telling you a story about England and Norway. In the mid-1960s, England and Norway got together around a negotiating table. And the reason they got together around a negotiating table was to negotiate the split of the North Sea. The North Sea is that sea that is north of Norway and northeast of England. The reason why they got together to negotiate that sea was nothing to do really with the water of the sea. It was everything to do with the ocean bed and what lay beneath the ocean bed. You see, the North Sea has staggeringly rich resources of oil. And just beneath the surface bed of the ocean is the most incredibly rich oil fields. And so England and Norway both had a claim to this, and so they wanted to figure out who owned which section of the seabed so that when the drilling for the oil became a reality, they would know who got what. Anyway, they negotiated it, they got it completed, and the oil drilling began. Now, fast forward 50 years from that time, there's something remarkably interesting to note about those two countries. Norway is third richest in the list of wealthiest countries in the world. England is in the mid-20s and slipping. Part of the reason for that has to do with what Norway did with their oil versus what England did. Norway were incredibly smart. This is actually the idea that Nigeria had, except it went pear-shaped in Nigeria. The idea was, and what Norway managed to do and actually implement, was they directed every single dollar of their oil money into the Norwegian Sovereign Wealth Fund. That was used for the development of their country. They built schools, they built universities, they built roads, they built bridges, they built massive amounts of infrastructure from the proceeds of the oil reserves that they had. England allowed it to flow into the economy and allowed it to flow indirectly and directly to different projects, but nobody took centralized control of that money and began to develop with intentionality. Norway did, and they're reaping the benefits now still today. Quite smart. If only Nigeria could have got that right, instead of three or four people holding all the wealth for themselves. Bank that thought, England and Norway and their oil story, right? Would you bank that for me? Let's then look at something different. Who here has ever read the book Alice in Wonderland? Lewis Carroll's famous book, Alice in Wonderland. If you don't know the story, Alice is a young lady. She's a little girl. She's kind of a young lady. And one day, she notices something very interesting happening to her. As she's just going about her business, she notices a white rabbit standing up on his back legs, dressed in a waistcoat, with a clock in his hand. Anybody remember this scene? If you've ever watched the movie, if you're a movie person as opposed to a book person, you can watch Alice in Wonderland. It stars Johnny Depp, who we all know is as mad as a hatter himself. He's a few cards short of a full deck, a few weights short of a shipwreck, a few books short of a bookshelf. You get the picture. Anyway, so the white rabbit walks past Alice, and he's got a little clock, he's got a little stopwatch in his hand, and he walks past her and disappears down a rabbit hole. Alice stares in amazement, can't quite figure out what's going on. I mean, how would you feel if you saw a little white rabbit walking past you and entering into a rabbit hole? Anyway, Alice figures, what have I got to lose? And she follows the white rabbit, who incidentally his name was the White Rabbit. She follows the white rabbit down the rabbit hole and ends up in Wonderland. Hence the name of the book, Alice in Wonderland. And this epic adventure awaits her. Now you might be wondering at this point in time, what on earth has England and Norway and their oil reserves got to do with Alice in Wonderland? You're probably thinking I'm off to a shaky start here. Here's the thing. Both of those have got to do with what lies just below the surface. In England and Norway's case, the oil was just beneath the surface of the seabed. For Alice in Wonderland, the Wonderland lay just on the other side of the rabbit hole. The kingdom of God, I think, can be described along those lines. It lies just below the surface of our world. As Kulu said in that spoken word, it's in the atmospheres around us. And it's just below the surface of our culture. Let me give you an example. If I had to say to somebody here today, maybe I'd say to Wayne, how are you doing? And I just said, hey, Wayne, how are you doing? I would get a certain type of response. I'd get a certain type of reply. You'd go, cool, thanks, how are you? That kind of vibe. In good East Rand English, as Pastor Trevor always says. In good East Rand English, good, thanks. And if, however, I asked that question differently, if I said to him, Wayne, how are you doing really? How are you really? All of a sudden, just by changing my wording, by inserting one word into my question, I have now accessed and am accessing a totally different realm of response from him. Because now all of a sudden, Wayne feels invited to tell me how he really is doing. And he begins to unpack. This happened to me with somebody just before the 8 o'clock service today. They begin to unpack their lives. They begin to tell me a little bit, give me just a little bit of a window into their world. How are you doing is just the world. How are you really is the kingdom. Because all of a sudden, he's opened the door to his world a little bit, and him and I can converse at a deeper level. You see what I mean when I say that the kingdom is just below the surface? Church, this is So incredibly important, because the kingdom of God was the single biggest thing that Jesus preached on. It was his number one topic in scripture. There isn't a thing that Jesus spoke about more when he walked on this earth and as he spoke and as he taught for 3 years. The kingdom of God was not only the central theme of his teaching, not only the central thrust of his teaching, it was the most often spoke about thing that he spoke about. Jesus spoke a lot about women. Jesus spoke a lot about injustice. Jesus spoke a lot about serving the poor. Jesus spoke a lot about loving your neighbor, loving God. Jesus spoke a lot about sex. He spoke a lot about money. He spoke a lot about pride and a lot about ego and all the things in our world that we know so well. However, he spoke about the kingdom of God the most. Over 100 times in the Gospels, Jesus speaks about the kingdom of God. Isn't it staggering that when one of his disciples come to him and say, Lord, teach us to pray, Jesus then teaches the Lord's Prayer. And I think we've lost some of the wonder and the magnificence of that prayer because we all recited it in assembly for a gazillion years. Who here did the Lord's Prayer? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And Jesus teaches, isn't it? Here's the thing, guys, isn't it amazing that the first thing Jesus teaches us to pray about when he teaches us to pray, he says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. What's the first request? Your kingdom come. In fact, it was so central to Jesus' life and ministry on earth, and he desired so eagerly for us to know that this would be the case, that Mark 1:15, Jesus arrives on the scene. He gets up to stand, and as he inaugurates, as he ushers in, as he delivers his opening address. It's almost like Parliament opens and the first thing that comes out of his mouth is Mark chapter 1 verse 15. And he says this, the time promised by God has come. And then what does he say? The kingdom of God is near. What is the kingdom? I think sometimes if we turn away from or we get turned off by concepts that we don't understand. And so we go, the kingdom of God, it sounds like it's about heaven. Is that the deal? The kingdom of God is not simply heaven. The kingdom of God is not some distant, detached, spiritual concept. The kingdom of God is not some far off reality up in the air, pie in the sky, kind of wishy-washy, up there, I don't really know what it is concept. The kingdom of God is a here and now. It's a present on earth reality. It is what God wants done in heaven, it gets done on earth. Think about a kingdom with me. What happens in a kingdom? The king's will gets done. Whatever the king, I mean, if you go to Monaco, or if you go to France, or in the days when they had monarchies, the king's will got done, and you knew it was a kingdom because the king that ruled there, his stuff got done. And so what's the kingdom of God? Well, it's anywhere where the will and the ways of God are done. It's anywhere on our earth. It's anywhere on the East Rand. It's anywhere in Benoni, Boksburg, Jermies, Springs. Anybody from Nigel? Nobody willing to admit that? Anyone from Brakpan? They're quiet today, Brakpan. They got loud. They're all in the 8 o'clock. Anywhere in the East Rand, anywhere in Johannesburg, anywhere in South Africa, anywhere in our world where God's will and God's ways are done. I really want to make this concrete for us. Kingdom of God is not some pie in the sky up there concept. Well, kingdom come, what does it mean? I'm going to unpack exactly what it means. Maybe I could say it this way. The kingdom of God is anywhere where Jesus' teachings are heard and applied. Make sense? You know, you could sit in church genuinely 52 Sundays a year. You could sit in life group 52 Wednesdays or whenever your life group meets, and the kingdom could never come in your life. The only time the kingdom comes is when you and I, when we hear God's word and apply it. I can hear Jesus' teachings all day long. Here's a staggering thought. Even the devil believed Jesus' teachings. He just didn't apply them. The definition of when the kingdom comes is when you and I hear Jesus' teachings and then actually put them into practice. So let's get really, really practical. How does the kingdom come in our lives? Let's think about it. The kingdom comes on a practical level when you and I, when we grant the poor dignity, Why? Because Jesus said, as much as you do for the least of these, you do it actually to me. So when we treat the poor with dignity, the kingdom comes. When you make eye contact with a car guard, and even if you haven't got change, you say to him, hey, buddy, I'm so sorry, I don't have change today. The kingdom came in that moment because you gave him dignity. You recognized him. You let him know, I've seen you. Are you with me? It's not some pie in the sky, esoteric, distant, detached, spiritual, airy-fairy thing. It's a very present, real reality. Each one of us can access just below the surface. It's like Alice in Wonderland. If you want to, you can go there. The kingdom comes when you and I act with integrity. Why? Jesus said, the truth, you'll know it, and it will what? It'll set you free. So anytime you and I act with truthfulness, speak with truthfulness, the kingdom comes in that moment. It comes when we treat others with humility. Jesus said, the first will be last, and the last will be first. So anytime you treat somebody ahead of you, and I treat somebody ahead of me, the kingdom comes in that moment. It happens anytime we exercise generosity. Because Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. So anytime we exercise generosity, guess what happens? The kingdom has come. When we decide not to judge the other person, because Jesus said, careful that you take the log out your own eye before you start looking at things in others' eyes. Anytime we make a decision not to judge, the kingdom comes. When we stop comparing ourselves, how does it work practically when we might be sitting on the loose, scrolling social media, and you don't compare yourself on Instagram. The kingdom comes. Are you with me? It's practical. It's real. And what ends up happening is you feel better in that moment than worse. Anybody scroll social media and feel great afterwards? Very rarely, am I right? Because everybody's putting the highlight reel of their lives on Facebook and not their reality, am I right? Can I get some amens? When we forgive the offense, the kingdom comes. Why? Because Jesus said, forgive 70 times? Seven. The kingdom comes. I think you're getting the picture. When we listen well, guess what, church? How staggering is this? Jesus was asked 183 questions in the Gospels. Guess how many he gave a response to directly? Only three. Guess how many questions he asked in return? 307. If Jesus was a listener and a questioner, makes us think maybe that's why God gave us two ears and one mouth. So we would listen double the time we speak. God's so quiet in this Catholic church now. Is that because you're not wanting to speak? You're just listening. Kingdom comes when we breathe deeply and you do your thing like Brian Mitchell before a boxing match. And you just keep it together. Just keep it together. Maybe in the taxi driver they cut you off and you just... 3 seconds can save you from going to jail, I'm telling you. Am I right? Okay. Kingdom comes when we say no to lust. Kingdom comes when we honor our parents. Kingdom comes when we pay our domestic workers fairly. Kingdom comes when we fast in February. If you need to thrive, this is our fasting month, fasting February. You can fast any time during the month, fast anything, social media, coffee. I'm fasting coffee. And I thought February was a short month. I picked fasting February, 28 days. I thought that's a win. It feels like the longest month in my life. Can fast anything. Why do we fast? Why do we fast? We fast to say to God, God, I want you to be above everything. I want you to be more important than anything. I want you to take preeminence in my life. I want you to take first place in my life. I want to put the spiritual above the physical. I want to fast. I want to draw close to you when I'm fasting. Anytime I'm hungry, I feel it and I go, let me draw close to you. That's why we fast. You can still sign up on our website for fasting and you'll get some encouraging resources. And if you are sickling like me through the coffee fast, you'll get a little WhatsApp that'll tell you, hang in there, you'll get there. Kingdom comes when you pray for a miracle. Church, when last did you pray for a miracle? When last did you pray for healing? God can heal in a moment. In fact, right now, I just feel so strongly prompted. If you need healing in your body, let's pray for it right now. Come, the kingdom can come in this moment. It doesn't have to be go home. I don't believe this thing where I'll go home and I'll pray for you. Do you need healing now? Lift your hand. Let's pray. Oh, lots of people very keen. Yes. Come, church, let's pray. If you've got somebody next to you, just look around you, Place your hand close, sort of stretch it out towards them. Father, we pray for healing. Lord, you can do anything. God, you can do something miraculous. You can heal through medicine and you can heal through medication, but you can also heal instantly. You can heal profoundly. Right now in this place, we pray for total and complete healing on bodies. In Jesus' name. Lord, we don't have to get dramatic about it. We don't have to get all uptight about it. We just ask you, Father, as children coming to you, asking you to heal in Jesus' name. And thank you for testimony after testimony that will come from this moment right now where we trusted you for the kingdom to come. Amen. The kingdom comes when we wake up on our bad days and we don't feel like we've got it in us. The kingdom comes on our worst days when we don't feel like we've got energy to get out of bed, and yet we get up, we do the things, we serve our families, we love our families, we put our kids first, we drive our kids to school, we make their lunch boxes, we put our spouses and we love, try and love our husbands and our wives. The kingdom comes when you've got nothing left and yet you still give. Kingdom comes in our victories and it comes in our defeats. It comes on our best days and it comes on our worst days. Kingdom comes in the small and big miracles of financial provision. Hey, it comes in the love and support of family. Here's the thing. The kingdom comes predominantly when you and I have silence and solitude and scripture. Can I suggest to you that the most powerful way in which the kingdom of God comes to us in our lives is through scripture? What I mean by that is Jesus' name and his life is in the pages of scripture. It's there in black and white text. But when you and I read it and we come before God, we've got a few moments before the start of the day and we come before him and we say, God, would you speak to me? I believe so strongly because I see it happen in my life and countless others who testify to this, that when you and I give our time, the best of our time to God, and we say, God, I want your kingdom to come. It's like Jesus lifts off the pages of scripture. It's like he stands up out of scripture and he becomes a living, breathing example of how to live. It's like he comes alive from the pages of scripture. We love scripture at our church. We believe scripture is the inspired word of God. It is the ultimate guide and direction on how to live. We want to make sure that everybody in our church has got scripture. So today, in this moment, we want to bless people. On Vision Sunday, we just want to say, if you don't have a Bible and you would like a Bible, we want to give you one in this moment right now. We're going to hope that we've got enough. If we don't, we'll order and we'll get one to you next week. Pull in next week and we'll be able to give it to you. But we gave out lots in the first service and in Edenvale last week. I'm not talking about if you don't like the version of your Bible or if you've spilled coffee on it or if your wife stole your Bible and it's next to her side of the bed. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if you don't have a Bible in your house. Raise your hand where you are right now and our team are just going to get around. There are lots. Isn't that awesome? There we go. Thank you. Keep your hands up. We've got lots. So keep your hands up if you need to. Thank you. Isn't that awesome? So I'm at the back there, team. Just keep your hands up nice and high so the guys can see you. There we are. Isn't that awesome? Brand new Bibles. Here we go. Church, let me ask you the question. Hang with me. Don't worry about the Bibles. They're just getting Bibles. Here's the thing. What happens when the kingdom of God comes in our lives? It'll be on the screen. Grab a hold of this statement. A little bit of heaven comes in you so it can get through you. A little bit of heaven gets deposited in you so that it can go through you. Let me explain what I mean. When you serve the poor, your compassion grows. When your compassion grows, a little bit of heaven is deposited in you and so that it can get through you. That's the whole point of the kingdom, so it can get in you and then through you. When you listen well, when I listen well with humility, our understanding of people grows. Guess what happens? A little bit of heaven gets deposited in us, and then it gets put through us. When we say no to lust, we become a little bit more free of it. A little bit of heaven in us so that it can go through us. When we read scripture, our understanding of Jesus grows. A little bit of heaven deposited in us so that it can get through us. When we fast and pray for a miracle, we exercise our faith. Faith is a muscle. The only way faith grows is if you exercise, if you take some risks, if you get out there. And Peter never would have walked on the water unless he'd taken a step. Faith always requires a step. Well, when you fast, you take a step and you say, God, I'm going to trust you for a miracle. Guess what happens? A little bit of heaven gets deposited in you so it can get deposited through. All of a sudden, people see, oh man, this woman is a person of faith. There's something about you that changes. In short, what happens is this. We become a little bit more like Jesus. He takes his form in us. This is a really important statement now. He takes Christ, takes his form in us. Christ forms himself in your life and my life. Never, ever be discouraged with how dodgy you are. Never be discouraged. What do I mean? We go two steps forward, one step back. Come on, you know what? I'm talking about the reality of your life in the week and the reality of my life in the week. Nobody's life is up and to the right. It's two, three steps forward and then one step back. And then, oh God, I'm going to try again tomorrow. But every time you make a decision for the kingdom, a little bit of heaven gets deposited in you. Don't ever underestimate this power of small deposits. You know, Albert Einstein was once asked, what's the most powerful thing on planet Earth? You know what he said? The power of compound interest. Interest upon interest upon interest upon interest upon interest. That the investment you made 10 years ago is still earning kingdom interest now. Are you with me? So come, let's give Pastor Ken a warm welcome.
Thanks, Pastor B. So the question we need to ask ourselves, Thrive, is how will the kingdom practically come in our community? Through the generator doing that. So how will the kingdom come practically here in our Thrive community? And so the first way I want to say that the kingdom is going to come is when we start to do what Jesus would do. When we start to do what Jesus would do, that's when the kingdom will come here and now. And so as a community, we have decided that we are going to go on a journey as a church and introduce a practice a month that we are encouraging our community to get behind. And so the practice of January, the month of January, was community. And we were encouraging our Thrive community to get involved in communities, in small communities everywhere. Because it's wonderful that we attend church in rows, but we never get to be in circles where we get to do life together. And it's so vital that we find a community of 10 to 12 people because, you know, we can learn in rows, but the truth is that we grow in small communities. We grow in groups. And so the monthly practice that we encouraged Thrive to move towards was community in January, because we also found that during COVID, people withdrew completely from community and people went into a place of self-preservation and just caring for themselves and their own family and trying to survive, but that's not how life should be lived. Life should be lived in the context of community. The second practice that we've asked and invited our Thrive community in is the practice of fasting. And fasting is so vital for our spiritual formation. It's denying of our flesh and saying, God, would you reveal to me things in my life which are not placing you in the right order. And sometimes it's our food. It's the desires of our flesh which are screaming so loud. And so we have to silence those through fasting in order to hear God's voice in a better way. And so I want to encourage you, if you're sitting here and you have not signed up for our fast, you have 1 week left to engage in this fasting with us. So go onto our website, sign up for our fasting practice and pick a thing. God is speaking to you right now about what it is that you can fast. And if you're crazy like Pastor Byron and you feel like it's coffee, well, then it's coffee. If you're crazy like our service producer at the back who's hiding, Colette, she's doing all meats and proteins. And so we were in our team room and there was delicious bacon quiche for our early morning team, which were here at like 5:30. And the smell was killing her. She's like, help me, Jesus. But it's really important that we fast together as a community. We want to be more like Jesus. And fasting helps us to do what Jesus did, become more like Jesus. Another way that the kingdom will come is when we lead ourselves and our families to be in Jesus, to be in church and to be more like Jesus. It requires leadership on our part. And so I want to encourage you as a church, let's let the kingdom come as we lead ourselves to be in God's presence and as we lead our families. You know, the church is not a restaurant. It's not a place where we come and we say, feed me, feed me, feed me, and then we leave. Because to be honest, at the rate at which people attend church, you will starve if you get fed only once every 3 or 4 weeks. The church is a grocery store. And the church is here to provide all sorts of amazing groceries that we get to take home and prepare gourmet meals for our families to eat from. And so what we want to say is, hey, come to church. Let us encourage you towards practices. Let us encourage you towards Christ-likeness. Let us point you to the scriptures, but then go home and eat of God's words together. Go home and live like Jesus would live in your families. Don't just hear it on a Sunday, because the kingdom comes when we hear and apply. And so be in church every single week. If you're only in church once in a month, you're only going to get one part of the meal. You're only going to get the protein or the vegetables, which is the worst part. All the starch. It's important that you're in church every single week to get the whole range of groceries so that you can go home and just be able to feed yourselves. This is not a restaurant. It is a grocery store. Parents, I want to encourage you to bring your children to God's house. They are getting influenced by all sorts of culture out there, all sorts of confusing things that are coming at them. And if you bring them into God's house, our incredible team will help them move towards Jesus. We'll give them the God's culture, kingdom culture, which supersedes the culture of the world in which we live in. But if you're not bringing them to church every single week and they're not getting a godly diet into their system, their schools are going to influence them. Their friends are going to influence them. Bring them to church weekly. I know for a fact that my children cannot get here without me. They would like to, but they can't. It's important that I bring them. And if your kids get to teenage years, bring them to Extreme on a Friday night. I would rather they in the presence of God at Extreme, learning from our incredibly godly youth leaders. You know, we have Amy Jane and we have Kulu, and here we have Kyle and Apiwe, and in Edenvale we have Hine and Kristen. I want my kids to be more like them because they look more like Jesus than the culture around them. So bring them to Extreme every single week. It's so important that we are in the presence of God. Friends, we need to take spiritual ownership for our own families. We have an hour and 20 minutes on a Sunday together. What are you doing in the week? Are you saying grace with your family, thanking God for the food on your table? Are you unpacking a scripture or reading the Bible story to your kids as you put them to bed? Are you continually pointing your kids towards Jesus? It doesn't have to be weird and strange. You can drive past a beautiful scene, a sunset, and say, my God did that, guys. Look what God did. Look at that beautiful sunset. You can have eyes to see a beggar and say, hey, guys, I feel like the Holy Spirit is prompting me to give them a Nutri-Go pack. Who of you would like to open your window and give them a Nutri-Go pack? It's really important that we lead our families spiritually. Another way that the kingdom will come is when we sow generously as a community. When we sow generously. You know, you might be sitting here and saying, well, how is that possible? Pastor Candace, how is me giving of my finances helping to grow a community? or to let the kingdom come in this community? Well, it's so simple. To be honest, as we sow here, as we tithe every single month, we get to develop our campuses. And as we develop our campuses, there are special needs classes that can be built so that special needs children can move towards Jesus. Not only so that special needs children, but their parents can also move towards Jesus. So we also use the finances to create counseling office rooms. And so when we do that every single day, when we are counseling people in those rooms, the kingdom comes again through our generosity. Another way is that in the near future, we want to be able to plant another Thrive campus wherever God asks us to do that. But we need finances in order to plant another campus, in order for us to find another community that needs to move towards Jesus. Another way is through our online community. You know, because of the generosity of so many of us here at Thrive, we now have an online community, which honestly has helped so many people. There's so many people who have moved towards Jesus because they've been at home and they've been sick and they've been unable to get to the building, or perhaps they're out of town on business, but they can still move towards Jesus because of the generosity of so many of us. We also have Shine, our social justice arm of the church, which helps with tutoring and mentoring in impoverished areas. It also helps with literacy. And so as we sow generously, the kingdom comes in Reicha Park in our Shine community that is working there. Also in our missions work all over in Moe's, all over the place, we get to sow into those communities. And because of the generosity, kingdom comes. We also help to feed many families in our Thrive community who have fallen on difficult times. You know, and nobody wants to say, oh, I've really fallen on a difficult time. But as a church, we want to see and say, hey, we can help you through this difficult season. Because of the generosity of so many of us here at Thrive Church, the kingdom can come. Another way that the kingdom can come is through community and connecting to community. We have various communities at Thrive Church, and we want to encourage you to find a community. If you're new to church, Move Forward is your first community. Move Forward is the front door of our church. It's the place where we say, hey, welcome to Thrive. This is who we are. This is what we're about. We don't want you to get lost in this church. We want to greet you by name, know you by name, and help you to integrate so that you are not alone. So Move Forward is the front door. It starts again in the beginning of March. You can sign up online for that course just to start to integrate into community, because we would love to get to know you. The next community is Following Jesus. We don't just want to get to know you at Move Forward. We want you to now learn to follow Jesus. Following Jesus is what we are all about. And in that course on a Wednesday night, Pastor Steve leads so beautifully in that space. And he teaches on how we can be with Jesus and how we can become like Jesus and how we can start to do the things that Jesus would do in our Following Jesus course. So many different ways where we can engage in community. One of the best ways for me, and one that actually is one I want to highlight, is serving. When you serve, you are never more like Jesus. And in our serving communities is where we find people who love us, where we find people we can do life with, where we find people who are there when we are celebrating, and also where we can find people who are there when we are grieving. I want to encourage you, if you're not serving, go to our info desk, put your name down, say, put me in a serving community because I want to do life alongside someone. Another way is just to join a life group. Join a life group. Find 12 people. Jesus found a life group. He had 12 people he sat in circles with and did life with. And it's so important that we join a life group so that we can be better, that the kingdom can come in and through our communities. We were never meant to do life alone. We were never meant to have high walls and electric fences and to keep ourselves out of each other's worlds. We were meant to invite people into our lives because Scripture tells us that we are better in community, that iron sharpens iron, that we work out our salvation in the context of community. I grab this Scripture and I go, guys, this Scripture told me I must forgive 70 times 7. I don't like this Scripture. And then they encourage me and say, come on, Candace, you can forgive that person again. And it's so important that we do life in the context of community. Another way that the kingdom will come is when we reach out to our world. reach out to our world. Friends, each of us are in our own context. You may be in school here, you may be in university, you might be at work, you might be in the home as a stay-at-home mom. We each have a community that God has placed us in order for us to have eyes to see, in order for us to be salt and light in the communities that God places us in. You know, we just need to have eyes to see. Hey, is there a family that's lost a loved one? Do they need you to make them a meal? Make life simple for them. Give them a meal that will just take the burden off of them. Are you in a grocery store and you have a giant trolley of goods in front of you and you can see the person in front of you is scraping together money to buy bread and milk? Why don't you just offer to pay for that person's groceries? Let the kingdom come. Let the kingdom come as we reach out into our world. Decide to make a difference wherever you are. Send a gift. Send some flowers. Buy some Nutrigo packs in the cafe. Hand them out. Reach out to the world. Have eyes to see. You know, Scripture tells us that we're meant to be salt and light. Salt and light. Where are you bringing flavor in the world? Where are you bringing light in the world? You know, we have a great guy in our Thrive community by the name of Georgie, who's going to stand. He just, stand, George. It's not Georgie of the jungle, okay? It's Georgie of Thrive Church. Would your team stand with you? And let me tell you about George. George saw a need in the community. Actually, there's so many needs if you just start to open your eyes. And George didn't wait for the church to say there's a problem, George, go and do something. George said to the church, there's a problem, I want to do something. And so in 2018, George decided to start a movement called Together Serve the City, a group of guys and ladies now, it's expanded, of 32 people who just decide to serve the community. They had eyes to see and decided to serve the community. And they serve in the following ways. Firstly, they do a homeless feeding scheme once a month. The second thing they do is they are supporting Kusela Safe House for abused and abandoned children. Guys, it's really sad that this is the reality of the world that we live in, that there are abused and abandoned children. But it's incredible that people like George have seen this and have moved towards it. And the Together Serve the City team, they help with maintenance. They help with non-perishable food items. They help with cleaning products for that home. They help by donating clothing, buying baby products, nappies, formula, shampoo, by donating toys, electricity, and gas. Basic needs. Eyes to see. The third thing that they're doing at the moment is they've secured a sponsorship from Kimberly Clark for sanitary wear. And they've received their first delivery of 1,376 packs of sanitary towels, which is absolutely incredible. And they have donated that to Boksburg High because people just down the road don't have money to afford basics. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. You guys can take a seat. I know I've embarrassed you enough. If you want to join that incredible group, please do so. But what you need to know is it was just one guy seeing there's a world out there that needs something. And I'm going to move towards it. He did not wait for the church to start something. He had eyes to see and he moved towards his community. Friends, every single one of us can have eyes to see the world around us and make a difference. Be salt and light. Let the kingdom come in you so that the kingdom can come through you. You know, as we recap now, we know that the kingdom is present anywhere and anytime. God's will and God's ways happen on this earth. The kingdom is present anytime Jesus' teachings are heard and applied. The kingdom can come and the kingdom will come. It will come through us, Thrive Church, as we be with Jesus, as we become like Jesus, as we start to do the things that Jesus would do. Friends, let us pray what Jesus prayed. May your kingdom come. This is our anthem, Kingdom Come. May your kingdom come in me. May your kingdom come through me. May your kingdom come in our church. May your kingdom come. It's going to be a brilliant year, church.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.